Welcome, and thank you for clicking on the Harmonic Concordance blogcast, your source for inspired interviews that explore the edges of consciousness and the role of spirit in our transformative times. Now here's your host, Johnny Marihiel.
Hi, folks, and thank you for joining us on the Harmonic Concordance blogcasts. Today, we're happy to have Amy Thakurtis. Dr. Amy Thakurtis is a naturopath, a shaman, a lecturer who specializes in stress management and transformation of behavior and consciousness through energy psychology and energy medicine. She currently teaches Ho'oponopono, Hawaiian shamanism, and multidimensional consciousness, both in the UK and in America. Hi, Amy. How are you today?
Hi, Johnny. I'm very good, thank you. It's good to see you and talk to you again. It's been some time.
Yes. I don't know when the last time you were here was, but it was a number of years ago, actually.
It was, yes. I always love going out to see you. It's just beautiful energy in the desert, the high desert.
Amy, can you tell us a little bit about what your work is and how you do it?
Okay. Well, it's called a clearing. That's all I've called it over these 25 years. It works very much that the person has the soul at that perfect level for this moment in time, and then we have the garbage on top. So all I do is move the stuff that has come through, either through the individual karma, the ancestral or collective karma, and see what's left. This can be done through many different ways. Sometimes it's soul retrieval. Other times it could actually be that the person is actually paying back on previous lifetimes. We can discuss that. There are so many different things. The stress levels are so high now, so I work a lot with post-traumatic stress disorder. And the various methods I've collected over the years come from all different modalities from around the world. So how one works, it's actually very peculiar. When clients talk amongst each other, because I teach as well, they will often say, well, that's nothing like my clearing. So there could be 20 people and their clearings are entirely different. So one size doesn't fit all. It really is about what that person needs in this moment in time. That's very vague, but it answers most things.
Okay, well, let me ask you to get a little bit more specific. When you are working with a client, what happens? They sit down in front of you and...
We discuss what they think we should be doing. They'll come for any number of problems, relationship. It could be health, physical or emotional. Whatever their problem is, we discuss it. Then going into that, what I call a fifth dimensional space, where just everything is. There's no positive, negative. It just sits with all the records that I am able to access. Then I see mainly, but I hear, I feel what it is that the person is going through at this moment in time. And generally it lines up, but sometimes not. If, for instance, it's a problem with the husband, we'll do somewhat of a spiritual mediation. And I say use those words because we're mediating between two people that seem to have a conflict, and yet on that inner space of existence, they are best of friends. But the karma is causing them to not get on at the moment. So in a mediumship type of manner, we can discuss with the other person in a calm, balanced way. And the insights that come through are for the client to, you know, join the dots, or sometimes it just comes out that they know exactly what they have to do. Then there could be some where their possession works. They've actually picked up a few naughty, ugly little monsters along the way because their lifestyle And it's not always that people who drink excessively or do drugs get them, but it can happen. So that's another type. Stress levels are very high with corporate clients, and often I will give them methods and techniques to release the stress and also pinpoint what it is. Sometimes it could be a physical, it could be emotional, it could be mental or spiritual. So we have all those different stresses that we can. There are so many stresses at the moment. And I don't believe that 1,000 years ago it was the same type of stress. It would have been more of a survival stress. So as mankind, we have lived, thrived, evolved through stress. But at the moment, it seems to be that it's coming at us from every single angle, from chemical to geopathic. It's just so many levels of stresses.
Did I hear you say corporate? Do you work with corporate entities or groups?
Yes, I do. When I started in Los Angeles in the early 90s, let me give you a bit of a background.
Please.
It was after a near-death experience, and I had just arrived in Los Angeles. And what happened was quite alarming because I was mainstream corporate at that point. I was a corporate lawyer, in fact. And so all of these, I'll call them gifts, suddenly occurred after the near-death experience. So clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairaudience, hands-on, healing, you name it, I could do it. However, this didn't seem to jive very well with what my career was. So I studied and I studied and I studied almost backwards because I could do what I could do the healing, I could do the clearings, but I didn't know why. So I traveled around the world and I found teachers that would explain techniques and break them down for people who don't know but were interested in learning any one of the things I could do. From that, within a few years, I realized this is a gift and I would like to say thank you for the gift and use it. And that's when I started with the clearing. So my job in of itself became less stressful when I decided not to work 16-hour days and just stick to 8. And then I had the rest of the time to do as I pleased. So I had several jobs going. I'd be clearing in the afternoons and in the evenings I would teach. And in the mornings I would do my court work sometimes or just go into the office. So it was a blending of worlds. And I think that's been my life. I walk between the worlds. So firmly on the ground every so often, but preferring to be in the other world, and hence my work, which I love and adore.
That sounds great. And I very much like the idea that you bring your work into the corporate field. By doing that, you make more people, corporate types, aware of what their potentials are, or even what the corporation's potentials are. So I like that.
Well, Los Angeles is interesting because there are many people very much on the same page, same note as myself. So teaching wasn't very difficult there. So for about 10 years, I traveled around America teaching basically the clearing technique plus any of the other multidimensional methods that I would put into a session. So sometimes a session might actually have sound and color therapies as well as aromatherapy and crystals. It depends where the person is and what will speak to them more. But after about 10 years, I decided to study as a naturopath. So once I got the doctorate, I decided, well, what is the best use of my energies and gifts? And I found that I could have gone several ways, but stress management seemed to be the way I wanted to kind of proceed, because I was always stressed as a lawyer. And I figured, well, I could help a lot of people, but I'd have to find a way of offering it mainstream. And this was an interesting dilemma, because most of corporate don't really want to know about it. If it's not proven by science, they're not really interested. So this was something that I managed to slide in via different methods of working with stress levels. So post-traumatic stress disorder was my top priority, but just working with people who are highly stressed because they don't have coping mechanisms or have forgotten, you know, to use them, starting with food, sleep, water, the basics. And that's how I offered it to corporate America. It then moved on that many of the top CEOs or, you know, just the producers, they needed to not only de-stress, they wanted also to let their own spiritual lives grow. So I would take them on little vision quests. And that was fun for me and nerve-wracking for them. And it became another aspect. I didn't aim or target any of this. It just evolved. It just evolved from my work.
Let me back up for a minute. Earlier you said you got a doctorate. The doctorate is the JD.
Oh no, I'm a lawyer, but that is I qualified in England, where we didn't call it a doctorate of jurisprudence. We just got our law degree, and I did do a master's. Then I came over to America, took the California bar exam, and then practiced, you know, as a lawyer there. But the ND, which is the doctorate of naturopathy, I specialized in multidimensional, so energy healing. And that would be using sound, color, and fragrances, whether that be aromatherapy or essential oils, whatever. Because music is one of the big things that I have used throughout my life, not only for myself, but for others. So the music aspect of the energy healing is a huge part of my work, too.
Well, my next question, Amy, would be about your specific techniques. Without giving away the store, can you tell us, for instance, what might you do for a client, and how might you help or treat a client's, in particular, stress issues?
Okay, so working with people who are mainstream, I find that they can't really, they don't have much tolerance for any of the energy work. So working more subtly, or actually more gross, I'm not too sure which way around you'd put that. We start with food. So just the absolute basics, how are they stressing their body? So food, exercise, and the rest. Work, of course, is a big element. Can they actually alleviate the stress by taking themselves away from the situation or solving it, or do they even have to leave their job? Their stress levels could be caused by their children, their partners. There are so many different, the usual ones, financial is another one. So you work your way up to that, then how is it actually manifesting in the body? So I leave them with a number of techniques to work on themselves for a couple of weeks, maybe as much as six, and then come back and tell me how things have changed when they've cleaned up the diet and they exercise a little more, they meditate some, do the usual things. I mean, it's usual for Los Angeles and it seems to be mainstream there, but it's not so usual for other places.
All
so
right.
Teaching them how to take care of themselves, self-responsibility.
And you've traveled the world in terms of helping people and in terms of your own education?
I have, and I still do travel. Part of the work that I do also is with the shamanic side, would be more with the land, and I work heavily with the water because the waters of the world are becoming polluted, and the clearing isn't just for a person. It can be for places. It can be for consciousness, I suppose, but I work on what I'm asked to do. And that asked to do would be the voices in the head, spirit. Whatever comes through as go ahead and go to this place. And I have many, many stories going to Maui, for instance. I know that's still part of America. And being asked to see someone called Sarah. And just one phone call later, I found Sarah and turned up at her place, and we did some work on Maui together. So it's those type of, seem like tenuous links, but the reward is always there, because if I follow through, there is always something that just tells me that was the right thing to do. I wasn't imagining it, Sometimes here I'll get a very specific hour and day. I go to the river, into the river, which is quite cold, and either sing, tone, do the energy work that I do. And it can be disconcerting because you wonder whether you're going mad or whether you really, really are receiving these messages. But the last time I did it, as I finished, I looked up and there were 12 doves circling my head, white doves.
So lovely.
The rewards, there are dolphins that come out of the ocean, see elephant seals up the west coast of California. So generally I get my feedback through nature itself. So when doing something for nature, nature blows you the kiss via the animals or the birds or the fish. And that's the reward for me.
That sounds like a wonderful reward. I would love those kinds of rewards myself. Let me just ask you if, say, for instance, you're in England, can the work that you do help the water, say, in Flint, Michigan? You know about the water in Flint, Michigan? Does your work encompass sort of a global reach? Can you work from there and do something?
That's always a possibility. And the water that I've got as a kit, I'll call it a kit. That sounds very scientific. But I was given in 1995 some water that was taken from all around the world, from all the sacred wells, lakes, rivers, seas, anything that was sacred, it was put together. I got it in Topanga Canyon in a place that I think it's still there, Crystal in the Woods. And there was a specific prayer. So over the years, so that's over 20 years now, I have every full moon, the eclipse, not everyone, that'd be lying, a lot of them. The eclipse is any special occasion, I will energize the water with whatever is happening. Now, water, Dr. Emoto's work, where he would take the crystals and, the water in its crystal state and take photographs of it and show how water is connected. Every single drop of water is connected in the world. We are, 70% water, so is the world. The analogy is there. So whatever you do on the one, you know, that holographic universe, or that small part of the water that you're working on, will effectively energetically clear it. So I energy clear water. Does it actually physically clear it? It would over time. But as one person doing it, I do my little bit for here. And when I get the call to work in a bigger place, I will send the water out in batches. The people bless it. They put their own energy in, add it to a 5-gallon container. They then got 5 gallons of that water. Water, of course, is free and should be. It's what we're made out of. And yes, I believe energetically it will clear, but physically the clearing may take a little longer. So we have that spiritual level, then it goes down, down, down to the physical level.
It sounds like you've got a bag full of treatments that you can apply to a variety of situations.
I think that the clearing technique, which basically I channeled when I had the near-death experience, seems to encompass many, many forms of energy healing or clearing. But it is from past lives. I will be totally honest. Once I could access all the different past lives and that I've had, I could put them together and see what I can do this lifetime. No accidents. I won't say that it's been an easy journey. It's just a journey. And mine, I will do my little bit, because even though it seems like there's bags of fun with the gifts, those blessings can often tip on their head and seem like curses on the bad days.
All right.
So surviving has been sometimes the priority, and then the icing on the cake is when I can put it all into balance and harmony and share.
Well, sounds like a lovely practice. It must be satisfying for you, although sometimes stressful for you yourself. Obviously, the work that you do is spiritual in nature. It's energetic, yet you call upon spirit to work through you. Am I wrong there, or is that...
No, that's correct. Okay. I mean, we've all got that spirit in us. Yes.
Okay. All right. So spirit shows itself through your work. One of the things that you just mentioned is past lives. So obviously you have a wide range of past lives, or maybe not, I shouldn't say obviously, you have a range of past lives that have come back to you in a sense since your own near-death experience.
Yes, that's correct. And tapping in, I think everyone has the ability. Our brain, we only use apparently 15%. So these extraordinary abilities, I believe, are just other parts of the brain that just haven't opened up. We could maybe in the DNA, the parts that are junk, we don't know what it does. I don't have any answers on why some people can do more than others, why others of us remember past lives or can clear or can do a number of things that appear extraordinary. But yes, reading the Akashic Records allows you to access a lot of information. There is more information in the cosmos than we can even imagine. And the intelligence is supreme compared to what we're tapped into on this level. My idea is that whatever little bits I glean, I would like to share.
Well, I'd love to have your sharing. Let me ask then about a specific word that you used before, the Akashic. Can you give us a brief summary of what the Akashic is?
Oh, wow. Now you got me. All that ever was and ever will be is available right now for us. So when I look at people, and typically going forward in time, so the people who can read forward, we've had many Nostradamus, there are many people that can. It's only one possible outcome. And then going backwards seems a little bit more secure because it did happen. But as we know, history is written by the victors, or through the perception of the people, as it's the records are a little bit more clearer. They just are. I don't see them as books that I read. It's more like a download of information. I didn't know something and now I do. And where did the information come from? Well, it's that fifth dimensional space and above that I can go into. There are other beings that are much more intelligent than us. And the intelligence is used in that way of cosmic intelligence. And once you create a relationship with them, you have even more information that's available. As to revealing things, if it's before its time, it just will land with a big thud. It just wasn't meant to be. If it's appropriate to the time that we're in, then there is a deep, deep understanding, and it can shift consciousness with that understanding. So when I'm reading them not to necessarily explain why, but how can we move on to that next level of consciousness always.
Are we in a period now where, in general, we're ready to move on to a new level of consciousness?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know when this blog is going to go on. And sometimes when people listen back on things, it could be 5 years on. So without saying specifically in time who it is, but we know who it is, there we have someone who's actually opened up all levels of consciousness because of the behavior patterns. So we seem not to learn in the space of harmony and comfort. As humans, we seem to learn our lessons when we're put under pressure. Maybe it's that adaptive response of survival of the fittest. So after wars, there's a massive shift in consciousness. We're at a tipping point now where something hasn't happened, but yet I see that the pressure that's exerted from what is happening, and I'll say in America, because obviously we know what we're talking about here, there are many groups that are wakening up. So the wake-up call seems sharp and a little bit harsh, but it's nevertheless working. And the new paradigm, I'll call it new paradigm for want of a better word, is being laid down by different people across the world in different ways. I don't believe it's going to be made up of what we've previously had, but I do think that there are certain requirements, pre-requirements to get in. You could call it your passport. So the new levels of consciousness seem to have that element of self-responsibility and self-love. Not a narcissistic love, just self-love, knowing how to take care of oneself on all levels, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And there are a number of other things that we possibly need to care for apart from ourselves, and that would be creation. So those people who I find are moving towards that are caring for all creation, however they perceive it. So if they're more in tune with the whales and the earth, or they're more in tune with the forests and the various species that we're losing because of the deforestation. So those are the, as I see it, the new paradigm kind of entry points. Caring for ourselves.
And
impeccably.
And we are moving forward. My belief is that we are in the midst of a very significant spiritual awakening. It seems, from my explorations, that we are coming as a whole to understand, A, that we are much larger beings. I just saw a quote the other day that said, you're not you, you are a soul. And the idea that we are much larger beings is becoming current. The people are starting to understand that and allow for that in their lives. So I think that the part and parcel of where we're going, included in the political landscape, the international landscape, and in our own personal landscapes, there is growth. And it's coming out of, as you say, sometimes it comes out of stress. And as a matter of fact, that's the way we tend to move forward. You need a stress to move you. So I think that's what's happening. But I want to hear from you.
No, I totally agree. We need that pressure. Remember when 9/11 happened, I was in Los Angeles at the time and I didn't have a television. I didn't need one for some reason. So I wasn't tuned in, but the New York clients were calling me as it was happening. So for the next 4 hours, I don't know how many phone calls I took because it was just call waiting to call waiting. And prior to that, the New Yorkers had a reputation, I'll put it that way, a behavior pattern that was recognized.
Oh, you say so, huh? You know, you're talking to one, you know?
So what happened afterwards, the huge outpouring of love and compassion and caring, not only from America, but from the whole world, shifted consciousness. So there was an event, good, bad, ugly, call it what you want, mainly bad and ugly, and the good out of it was absolutely extraordinary. We're at another tipping point now. I wish we would learn before tipping point, but we haven't quite evolved to that level of consciousness yet.
You said there was an event. That event, of course, was 11/11/01. There was another event which took place about 3 years afterwards, which was the Harmonic Concordance. Can you talk a little bit about you and how you became involved in that?
Well, that's your thing, isn't it, Johnny? We had met just a few years before that, I think around about 1999 in the high desert, and you had told me about it. I was so excited. It was an event. We celebrated it in Los Angeles. I had my friends come round. We actually did the astrology in the circle. So the medicine wheel that I had in my backyard at that time was quite large and it had boulders. And then I actually got each of the people who turned up, and they're mainly the shamanic friends or people tuned in anyway, to channel each of the planets in the specific configuration. And it was very, very vibrant, poignant, electrifying, and I'll never forget it. So thank you for reminding me about that. And you have continued that work. You've not just continued, you've elaborated, you've extended it. Your passion on that has led you to do other things, which is exciting for everyone who knows you. Because well, you'd already been involved in this type of work and your own shamanic work for years and the astrology. But look what it has sprung out of it. And this whole spiritual network that you're creating on the web, it couldn't have happened, I don't believe, if you hadn't started it, met us, because it's many of us that know you. And so I want to thank you for that. No one has, I'm thanking you right now.
Well, thank you very much for those very kind words. I found that chart purely by accident, but it was given to me, and since it was given to me, I felt under an obligation to bring it to the attention of as large an audience as I could. And so that was my work. I found it in August of 1998, and the event happened in November of 2003, so I had 5 years to work on it to bring that attention. So thanks to you and many others, the word went out, and we had a fairly successful event, but it has carried forward, I believe. And I think, this is from my own personal perspective, I think that it was a moment that actually did change consciousness for those of us who paid attention. It made us aware that, first of all, we are the creators. Second of all, we are all one. And third of all, the beauty and importance of Mother Earth. We carried that work forward and we continue today. And your being here is a part of carrying that. Chopping wood and carrying water. That's what we do. We'll do it, you know, as long as we can. Let me go to the next and final question. How do you see your role playing out in the future? And what do you intend to do from this time forward?
Okay. Well, that's my journey, spiritual journey, is an interesting one. It seems that I bumble and stumble, and yet looking back, there is some hidden design or method in my madness. So where I think I'm going, and then I will be told, you know, something entirely different, I'll deal with that, is using music much more. So music has been my life, most of my life. Since I was 6, I played the piano, 10, the French horn, and it has been basically something that has kept me sane. I love this little saying by Pythagoras. The stars in the heavens sing a music if only we have ears to hear. Uh-huh. The way I like it is that the music is always in my head. So I have been composing. I did a lot in the in Los Angeles. Did a lot of concerts for world peace with friends from the different religions. So as part of the Interreligious Council, and wrote the music for the different religions. So that from that, where we performed it, sang it throughout the 90s and a little bit into 2000, I have seemed to have lost that aspect in coming to England, but have created a French horn group. It was mainly because I wanted more music in my life and I couldn't play it in where I live, because all the places are taken. So having figured out there are over 60 players, 60, I decided to create a horn choir and carry on singing my song. So my soul song comes through my horn. As a result, we can have as many as 16 players. And joining different societies, I've ended up playing where there were over 450 of us playing in Los Angeles, just down outside. But when we're inside, it takes the foundations and roof off. Now, sound music, it's a carrier wave of consciousness, our own consciousness. And when all our passions collide, and we all love playing the French horn, we really do, it is a way of expressing something that isn't often lived or expressed much. People play safe. So it's daring to live your dreams. That's what I send along my carrier wave of consciousness. Every time I play, I send that wish that everybody should live their dreams, whatever they may be. And it's daring to live those dreams, not settling for something less because it's safe or it's where you'll fit in with society. That new paradigm says be your individual, be your soul song, sing it loud, sing it as clearly as you possibly can. So that's where I think I'm going. Continuing clearing with the waters of the world, the earth, wherever I am, and working with people one-on-one, maybe teaching some more. But the music seems to have taken over insofar as I'm doing much more composing. And then that volume, that pure mass of sound, when you have that, the energy can be used for any type of healing. I mean, that is what we use for healing. The energy cannot be, it will just go from one form to another. So a healing is your intention plus a frequency. So frequency could be your mind. So there is a prayer. It could be color. It could be sound. So when you use a lot of sound, and we do it all around the world, that's why those synchronized meditations, synchronized music events around the world have so much power. And I see that's where it's going with so many of us. We're going to be synchronizing our energy fields for something better.
For the world, you know, not just for your own individual self, but also for the world.
Yes, I agree. It's always got to be I, we, world. So the I, you look after, the we, your community, family, friends, and then the world. So the your listeners can't see my French horn, but I'm going to lift it up so you can. And
it's bigger than you.
It is heavy, and yeah, it is quite big, but it's perspective. So I can only describe the image. So here I have a pair of horns, actually. I'm going to bring my other one, which is slightly different. And so this is what you have to do in life. You have to grab life by the horns. And you have to play at the same time. So I'm just going to do a couple of notes for you.
Oh, that's lovely. How about playing us out? But wait, before I do that, before I ask you to do that, let's give people a way that they can get in touch with you, either to just chat or to use your to get them to use your particular energies for their own healings? How do people get in touch with you?
Okay, well, I have a website, www.pureoiledwaters. You can get Pure Oiled Waters on Facebook as well, and they can get in touch with me that way really very easily for sessions, for teaching, for anything, for playing. We go to events all over the place. We'll travel across the globe. And I obviously, you know, with the world being so small with Skype, I obviously do Skype sessions. So Pure World Waters or Oxford Horns, that's my actual group, Oxford Horns. Again, it has a website. You can find me there.
All right. Well, Amy, I'm very, very, very happy to have had you here today and have the ability to tell people just who Amy is, Amy the Curtis is, and what she brings to the planet at this particular time. So we'll close this out and ask you to toot us out a horn note or two.
Well, it's been my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I don't know what to play, so whatever comes up will be perfect.
Bye-bye, Amy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for having tuned in to the Harmonic Concordance blogcast with Johnny Marahiel and special guest. For more information about the blog, please visit www.hcblog.org. We wish you peace and blessings on your journey. Namaste.